Let us pray. O Lord our Father, we ask that this evening you would enable us by your grace and your Spirit to understand and to respond to your word this evening. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You know, my friends, when I was a young Christian, I always thought that the word Monday is spelled as M-O-U-R-N-D-Y. And the Maundy Thursday service would be for Christians to come together and just mourn for Jesus and the suffering that he was about to face. And of course, I was wrong. Most of you would know that the word Maundy is derived from the Latin word for command. And at Maundy Thursday service, we remember, you know, that important command which our Lord Jesus Christ has given not only to the disciples who were with him at the upper room that night, but also to those who would be his disciples today, to me and to you. And this command is found in John chapter 13, verse 34, where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Now, before we consider how we may respond to this command, I believe it is important for us to give our attention this evening to two other things which Jesus has also given to his disciples on that night at the upper room. And the first is this: Jesus gave them an example of what it truly means to love one another. And clearly, that example was in the way Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. Now, to wash somebody's feet back in those days were considered a very demeaning task. So you either wash your own feet or you get the lowliest slave to do the job for you. Well, this might still be the common perception in many cultural settings today towards feet washing. So the question is, why would Jesus take up such a demeaning task that night? In fact, you know, the author of John 13 made two other comments in verses 2 and 3, which made Jesus' act of feet washing even more unthinkable. The first is in verse 2. We are told by the author that the devil had already prompted Judas to betray him. And you know, verse 11 tells us that Jesus was very aware of this betrayer, maybe even before washing the disciples' feet. In fact, Jesus would have also known that Peter would soon deny him, and his disciples would soon desert him. But despite this foreknowledge, you know, it's incomprehensible that Jesus still arose from supper and began to wash the feet of those who would deny him, betray him, and desert him. Now, the second comment is in verse 3, where the author intentionally highlighted the certainty of Jesus' authority and divinity. It says here, Jesus himself knew that the Father had given not just some things, but all things into his hands. All things, including things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, everything has been given under Jesus' power. So Jesus wasn't just the King of Israel, which the crowd had proclaimed a few days ago during his entry into Jerusalem. But here is Jesus, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the sovereign ruler of all creation. And let's not forget that Jesus is also the Son of God, the divine being, as highlighted in verse 3, where it tells us that Jesus knew that he had come from God and was going back to God. And I would imagine that after this clear revealing of Jesus' authority and divinity, verse 4 would go on to say, so Jesus rose from supper and he started to rebuke the disciples for not washing each other's feet, or started to rebuke them for not washing the feet of the Lord Most High. But of course, that was just my imagination, and that did not happen. On the contrary, verses 4 to 5 gives us such a vivid description of how Jesus, the King of Kings, the Son of God, took up the role of a lowlier slave and washed the feet of his own disciples. So why would Jesus choose to take up such a demeaning task, especially when we consider the sinfulness of men and the sovereignty of Christ? Well, because this is how Jesus defines and expresses love. From this feet washing account, Jesus shows us very clearly that his love for others is never about how deserving that person might be or how rewarding it would be for himself. For Jesus, loving others means putting others before himself without expecting anything in return. And you know, my friends, the same is expected of his disciples, of you and me. In verses 14 to 15, Jesus says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. You know, my friends, sometimes it is easy for us to interpret such commands from Jesus based on our own definition or preference, based on our own terms and conditions. Yes, I will obey Jesus' command to love one another as long as no one steps on my toes, as long as I feel comfortable, well-appreciated, well-loved in the group. As long as everyone agrees with me and follow what I say, I will love one another. As long as it is convenient for me and doesn't require me to give up anything or to wash any person's stinky feet, I will love one another. But my friends, Jesus has made it very clear through his example in our passage today on what he meant when he commands us to love one another. And may we who call ourselves his disciples learn to truly love one another according to his ways and not our own. And perhaps at this point, some of you may be thinking that this is easier said than done. You may be thinking, how is it ever possible to love that colleague or that boss who has been treating me so badly? How is it possible to love that person in the family or even in the church who has hurt me so deeply? And I agree with you, my friends. There are indeed people in our lives whom we will find it so difficult to love the way that Christ expects of us. And that is why in our gospel lesson today, Jesus did not just give us the command and the example, but above all, Jesus gave us his love. And my friends, we need to realize that it is only Jesus' love for us and in us that can truly motivate and enable us to love one another. Now look with me again in verse 34 at the second half where Jesus said, Just as I, meaning Jesus, have loved you, you also are to love one another. You know, I believe the order here is significant. Just as I have loved you, this is mentioned first before the command. This is given first as the basis for the command. Therefore, when Jesus commands us to love one another, he is expecting us to do so firstly by participating in his love for us before imitating the way he has loved others. It must first begin with us having that personal knowledge and encounter of Jesus' immeasurable love. And this love of Christ is shown not only through that humble act of feet washing, but most clearly through what Jesus was about to do, as alluded in verse 8, where Jesus said to Peter, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." In this verse, Jesus wasn't talking about washing dirty feet anymore, but he was referring to something much filthier than stinky feet that are coated with thick layer of dirt and mud. Jesus was referring to the washing of our filthy sins. Filthy sins of our rebellion, disobedience, unfaithfulness towards God. Filthy sins of hypocrisy and idolatry, where our lips may acknowledge Jesus as Lord, but not so in the way we live our lives each day. Filthy sins of our pride, bitterness, unforgiveness, and all that wicked intention hidden in our hearts. And how was Jesus going to wash away all these filthy sins in us? Well, he was definitely not thinking of using just that basin of water for feet washing. But Jesus had in mind a way that I believe none of us could ever imagine. As written in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, which we have read earlier, on the same night after Jesus had washed his disciples' feet, when Jesus took the bread, he was thinking of his own body, which will soon be wounded, bruised, and broken because of the consequence of not his, but our filthy sins. And when Jesus took the cup, he was also thinking of his own blood that will soon be shed on the cross as the means, the only means, to wash away all our filthy sins. And you know, if we look at John chapter 13, verse 8 again, it is amazing how Jesus was not only thinking about washing away our filthy sins, but he was also thinking of how his sacrificial and humiliating death on the cross would benefit his believers, his followers, how it would cause us to have a share in his righteousness, a share in his glorious inheritance, a share in that intimate relationship with God the Father for eternity. And this, my friends, this is the immeasurable love of Christ that has been shown to us. And until we have personally experienced Jesus' love for us, until we have allowed our hearts to be filled with his amazing love each day, you know, on our own, we can never be able to love one another the way that Christ has commanded us. Until there is that constant infilling of Jesus' unconditional and sacrificial love in us, there can never be an outflowing of that same kind of love from us to others. So, my dear friends, this evening, even before we think about the command to love one another, I believe it is important for us to realize or to remember just how much you and I are loved by Jesus. For some of us here, perhaps the Lord may be calling you this evening to return to your first love. Return to the one who has so willingly laid down his life on the cross for you and for your sin. And open your heart to Jesus once again, so that The Lord, your Savior, can fill you up with His overwhelming love once more. And for many of us, there is also perhaps a need to slow down in our very busy life and to set aside a good amount of unhurried time each day to reflect and be filled with that amazing love of Jesus over us. And this weekend is the perfect moment to do so. Let us not rush through another Good Friday or another Easter Sunday, but let us slow down. Let us take time during this weekend to be captivated once more by the full extent of Jesus' love for us, demonstrated through His death and through His resurrection. And in every other day of our lives, in our daily devotion, or even in our daily activities, while we are driving, while we are taking the public transport, while we are doing house chores, let us take whatever opportunity we have each day to remember and to reflect on how much Jesus has loved us through His death, and how much He continues to love us each day through His constant presence with us. And you know, when our hearts are so filled with the love of Christ till it overflows, we will find ourselves naturally sharing that same kind of love with the people around us, no matter who they are. As Christ has loved us, so we must and we can love one another. It's a command not only to model Jesus' love for others, but it's a command to manifest Jesus' love in us, to the people around us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for revealing to us the extent of your immeasurable love through the life and death of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to remain grounded in your love each day in the midst of so many distractions and uncertainties in life. And Lord, would you make us as vessels of your love to the people around us, especially to those who desperately need you. And this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.